Okay, also wir setzen jetzt die Reaktion an den Hausdorff-Anomalie fort mit dem Vortrag von Karolin Scheuke aus Leipzig, der zum Thema die Aristotelian Roots of Heidegger's Fundamental Ontology sprechen wird.
Danke. Der Vortrag, den ich halten werde, werde ich auf Englisch halten. Aber natürlich können Fragen auf Deutsch oder auf Englisch gestellt werden. Ich kann sehr gut Deutsch verstehen. Und okay, before I begin, a small correction. The title is not completely correct because it belongs to a larger project, and this, what I am presenting, is in fact a smaller part of that. And I think that the appropriate title will become clear as I progress. So Martin Heidegger, in his famous work from 1927, Sein und Zeit, opens with the provocative claim that the question of the meaning of being has been forgotten in the tradition of philosophy. In response, he develops what he calls fundamental ontology. As the name suggests, fundamental ontology is not merely ontology. That is, Heidegger's version of what Aristotle carries out in the metaphysics. Rather, fundamental ontology is supposed to be something different, an inquiry into the very basis, the very fundament of ontology, of the different ontological categories and possible ontological systems. Heidegger insists that ontology remains naive and opaque so long as it fails to articulate this fundament and thereby what is meant by being. Heidegger's provocative rhetoric may mislead the reader to underestimate the thoroughly traditional foundation of his inquiry, or to be more specific, the fact that Heidegger is raising a very old question. Aristotle observed the word being is said in many senses, in many meanings. And in the metaphysics, for example, Aristotle identifies four senses. Yet Aristotle insists there must be a unifying central idea or principle that justifies using the word being for all senses. And the science that would uncover this meaning, this unifying principle, would most appropriately be entitled to the name First Philosophy. Thus, Heidegger's claim concerning the forgottenness of being is not a suggestion that Aristotle fails to raise the question of being. Indeed, Aristotle does. Nor is Heidegger suggesting that Aristotle failed to see the importance of this question. Rather, Heidegger believes Aristotle simply did not offer an adequate account of the unity of the various senses of being. Uncovering the unity of the senses of being is at least a necessary, if not a sufficient, condition for understanding what is meant by being in general. Now, the central aim in my lecture is not, in spite of the title that I gave in the program, to pursue this thought concerning the Aristotelian roots of Heidegger's project. And in fact, I'm uncertain to what extent one may equate Heidegger's question with Aristotle's. I think they may very well be posing different questions. Instead, my intention is to examine the thesis guiding the methodology that underpins Heidegger's fundamental ontology. The thesis that underpins his method. And this is, I think, the central thesis of Being and Time, Sein und Zeit. Namely, in order to answer, or at least clarify, what is meant by being, Heidegger insists we must analyze the structure of our way of being. That is, the structure of human being from the first person. Heidegger has a word for this that is famous also in the English language or well known, Dasein. He believes that ontology has its foundation in motivation, ist fundiert und motiviert in Dasein. And he believes that human being has an ontological priority or primacy over all other beings. My aim is to shed light on Heidegger's thesis that an analysis of human being is the foundation and motivation of ontology and the source of an answer to the question concerning the unified meaning of being. So the title for my lecture would be better articulated as the ontological primacy of human being in Heidegger's fundamental ontology. And that is my central theme and my central question. What accounts for the ontological primacy of human being in Heidegger's fundamental ontology? Or, to put it differently, why is an analysis of human being essential, or at least very important, to an inquiry into the meaning of being? And I will discuss three answers to this question that Heidegger touches upon in the introduction to Sein und Zeit. And although this thesis is, I think, the central thesis of Sein und Zeit, I don't believe Heidegger offers a systematic argument or clarification for this thesis. And so, in reading the book, of course, one must reconstruct the basis for this thesis. So I will offer three answers, and these answers build on each other. But I think only with the third answer do we have a satisfactory account of Heidegger's thesis. And the first idea, the first answer, is rather self-evident. And it arises from the observation that all ontology is inherently human in its inception and motivation. Ontology, that is, the theoretical inquiry into being, is an expression of a human mode of being, namely of inquiring about the being of things. Inquiring, observing, understanding, conceiving, as Heidegger points out, are all possible modes of our way of being. And because ontology is a form of inquiry, ontology necessarily presupposes an inquirer, an entity that inquires into the being of things. Which means it presupposes a human being. Thus, according to this first answer, an analysis of human being has priority for ontology because it is a necessary precondition for ontology. There must be someone who inquires in order for, in effect, any theoretical inquiry to exist. And a science that aims at being the most fundamental inquiry of all cannot leave a fundamental presupposition unanalyzed. Such a science can hardly claim to be fundamental. Thus, the first answer to the question concerning the ontological primacy of human being is the idea that we must first clarify this central presupposition. Clarify what this being is that is inquiring into the meaning of being. Clarifying this presupposition entails then self-reflecting on the act of inquiry and making oneself as the inquirer transparent in his or her own being. Now, this may account for the fact that ontology has its motivation in human being, which I think is self-evident, but does it account for the ontological necessity of an analysis of human being? I don't think it does, of course. The fact that there is a being that inquires into things is a presupposition of every theoretical discipline, including the natural sciences. But one hardly considers it a necessity for the biologist, for example, to analyze human being in the first person before analyzing other living things. Thus, we may ask again, why should an analysis of human being be essential to an inquiry into the meaning of being? A second answer, and now I come to the second answer, is that a human being is not only the entity that inquires into being, but the only entity for whom there is even such thing as being, for whom there is a difference between things and the being of these things, what Heidegger calls the ontologische Differenz. This does not mean merely that human beings are the only beings that think and reflect upon things, and therefore have access to what and how something is. More importantly, Heidegger believes that being requires, in a sense, human beings in order to be. Being is disclosed only in human understanding. This must be distinguished from, for example, things that we encounter, for they are there to be encountered even if no humans are alive to encounter them. But Heidegger believes, as I interpret him, that the situation is different concerning the being of these things. Their being reveals itself only so long as there are entities like us. Consequently, if there were no humans, there would still be things, but mere things, not things in their being. And Heidegger captures this human element in the way he formulates his central question. His question is not simply the question of being, but rather of the meaning of being. Die Frage nach dem Sinn des Seins. In other words, of how being is disclosed, erschlossen, in the human understanding. The phrase, the meaning of being, reflects the fact that being is inseparable from human thought. Thus, the second answer is this. An analysis of human being is necessary for ontology, because being is inseparable from human understanding. Yet again, even if this is true, and even if Heidegger believes this, being is disclosed only in human understanding, I think it is still unclear how this accounts for the ontological priority and necessity of an analysis of human being, or at least the importance of such an analysis for his project. This is simply another indication that human being is presupposed in ontology, but not that this presupposition is itself in need of being analyzed. So now I come to the third answer. And the third answer builds on the second answer. The third answer that accounts for this priority is Heidegger's observation that if an inquiry into the meaning of being is at all a meaningful inquiry, then this indicates that we must already have an understanding of being. Heidegger calls this understanding of being that we already have a pre-theoretical and pre-ontological understanding. It is pre-ontological in the sense that it precedes ontology. Not temporally, of course. It is the starting place for ontology. That means its implicit foundation. It is necessarily presupposed by an inquiry into the being of things. It is implicit because it is not, or at least not yet, articulated or worked out systematically and thereby made explicit. Now, Heidegger's talk of pre-theoretical and pre-ontological, and sometimes he also says pre-logical, may sound rather mysterious, especially to someone not familiar with Heidegger's thought. Indeed, it may even sound mysterious to someone who is. But I don't think it is mysterious at all, and I think the motivating thought behind these terms is rather simple. And it may be made clearer if I just touch on two points that I think are essential to Heidegger's analysis. And the first point is, I think, a guiding insight in his idea of a pre-ontological understanding of being. And that is, an inquiry into the meaning of being, as with any inquiry, presupposes that we already have an idea, if only a very vague idea, of that which we are inquiring into, of that which we are looking for. The possibility of formulating the question meaningfully requires a sense for that, for what it is that we are seeking. This means we must already have access to the meaning of being if we can inquire into the meaning of being. As Heidegger puts it, the meaning of being must already be available to us in some way. And we may add that if it were not available to us in some way, then we would not even have a question. As Heidegger states, and this is a quote translated, of course, we do not know what being means, but even if we ask what is being, we keep within an understanding of the is, though we are unable to fix conceptually what that is signifies. Thus, we must have a vague and average understanding of being in order to inquire into it. We must have what he calls a pre-theoretical and pre-ontological understanding. Now, the second point, and this is an elaboration, I think, of the first point, in a sense, and also central to Heidegger's analysis in Sein und Zeit. And he illustrates this first point that I just mentioned in his analysis of our everyday interactions. And what is striking about his notion of everydayness, Alltäglichkeit, is that he focuses not on the way we perceive or observe things or objects, but instead on the way we deal with things in our practical engagement with them. That is, he does not take examples of perception to illustrate his idea of a pre-ontological understanding. Instead, he takes examples from the realm of action. And his famous example, of course, is the way we use a hammer. And he states that we uncover something like a hammer most primordially, so ursprünglich, not by standing back and observing it, but instead by making use of it to hammer something. And his interest in practical examples has led some readers to believe Heidegger's text is the foundation for a pragmatist conception of knowledge and human existence. This reading is very popular in the United States, but also in Germany. And I believe, of course, this is a misreading. Heidegger focuses on practical examples not in order to demonstrate the primacy of practice, but instead to demonstrate in an exemplary manner the simple fact that we have already an understanding of the being of things in the way we deal with things. And this understanding does not first arise after having inquired explicitly and systematically into their being, or reflected, for that matter, on what they are. Rather, this understanding is revealed in the fact that I know what to do with the things around me. So I show that I have an understanding of paper, pen, table, cup, room, and so forth, simply by the fact that I am able to deal with these things. In this sense, I understand what they are in this pre-ontological sense. These practical examples are supposed to illustrate this insight that we already have a sense for that which we are looking for when we inquire into the being of things. And that is then the third answer to the question concerning the primacy of an analysis of human being. And according to this third idea, the basis for the ontological primacy of human being is that we must analyze this understanding of being that we already have. And the only way to do this is to examine our way of being. Thus, an analysis of human being ought to lay bare this pre-ontological foundation that, in a sense, predetermines ontological inquiries in general. At least, I believe that is Heidegger's thesis. It ought to make this implicit understanding transparent, to articulate the foundation from which we are led and able to raise, for the first time, the question of being. And those are the three answers, and that is the main idea of my lecture here. So the first answer was that the motivation of ontology is in a human being, of course, self-evident fact, one might say. The second idea is that being cannot be separated from human understanding, whereas things can, but not the being of things. And the third answer is that we already have an understanding of being. And so to clarify the foundation of ontology or fundamental ontology, we must start with a clarification of this understanding that we already have. I'm just going to touch then on a problem, one problem. Of course, there are many problems. But I'll touch on one problem that Heidegger himself raises. And this is a problem that he raises on the very same page in which he believes to have demonstrated the primacy of human being, of Dasein, for his analysis. And he makes a statement that seems to contradict this thesis. He states, "In the idea of such an analysis of the being of Dasein lies already the idea of being. Thus, even the possibility of carrying through the analytic of Dasein depends on working out beforehand the question about the meaning of being in general." In other words, with this statement, I think Heidegger seems to undermine his thesis concerning the ontological primacy of human being for ontology. As he says in this statement, an analysis of human being depends on working out beforehand the question about the meaning of being in general. Now, I don't think this is a very easily understood thought, especially because Heidegger did not finish his work. He wrote less than the first half. And maybe had he written the second half, this statement would be clearer. But perhaps what Heidegger means can be partially illustrated in light of a contrast between antique and modern conceptions of being that he discusses in his later philosophy. If we follow Aristotle and understand being in line with the categories, for example, then we will understand ourselves accordingly as a substance with properties, as the animal endowed with rationality. In contrast, we may understand being in terms of a modern technological worldview, which is the theme of Heidegger's critique of modern philosophy in his later lectures. And then we might conceive of human being in terms of the capacity for calculation, production, and the pursuit of instrumental ends. Our understanding of ourselves as facilitators of technological progress is derived from our understanding of the meaning of being more generally. In other words, there must be something more fundamental than our understanding of ourselves that predetermines how we interpret our own being, and that this would therefore be the more fundamental level of analysis. And it seems, therefore, that Heidegger has reversed the order. Now our pre-ontological understanding, which precedes all philosophical inquiries, has itself some kind of priority because it precedes and predetermines our understanding of ourselves. Now, this thought is not especially clear, I admit. But my main point in bringing this quote to your attention is that I think it puts into question Heidegger's thesis that ontology has its foundation in Dasein. In other words, I think it puts into question the thesis that I've been presenting here. And I think also that Heidegger was well aware of this tension in his own philosophy and believed that it is unavoidable in such philosophical questions, and that fundamental ontology therefore necessitates a special method that is characterized by a type of circularity between our understanding of being in general and our understanding of ourselves, for they reciprocally shape each other. And in Seinenzeit, he has a name for this type of circular movement. He calls it a hermeneutic circle, the hermeneutische Kreis. It is circular, but he insists there is no contradiction or circular reasoning, for the method which he is advocating does not entail laying down an axiom from which a sequence of propositions is deductively derived. There is no circular reasoning, but instead what he describes is a remarkable relatedness, backward or forward, a unique reciprocity between the object of inquiry and the inquirer itself, that is, between being and human being. I think this helps explain why Heidegger makes seemingly contradictory statements in reference to his method. Good, thank you.